Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. You guys are now tuned into Pair Talk Reloaded, the podcast. I am your host, First Lady Christina Renee. And in this episode, we're going to switch gears a little bit. I pride myself on being authentic as possible, being real as possible. I don't do any edits. Other than if I'm like inputting like music clips or something into the podcast. But the podcast itself, I don't do any major edits because I think you guys deserve to have authenticity come to you. What that actually looks like sometimes is, you know, there may be some sound in the background. You may hear a knock on the door. You may hear, I don't know, a dog bark, depending on where I'm actually recording. But again, I pride myself on being as authentic as possible. The best example of a person that I aspire to be like would be, now if you're American, you'll get this reference if you grew up in America. I'm in my 30s. So there's a product called OxiClean. They sell it in grocery stores or whatever. But when OxiClean was first like introduced to the public, they used to run these infomercials on TV, right? And the infomercials that they used to run on TV, there was this guy. I really don't remember his name, honestly, but it was OxiClean guy. That's what I went to call him, the OxiClean guy. And there's this one commercial where he takes like some wine or grape juice and like pours it on a white carpet, right? So I have an aunt that I basically, she helped raise me or whatever. I have an aunt that ordered this OxiClean, and I remember seeing it in the closet. She actually happened to have white carpet. So I said to myself, I was like, shoot, I'm gonna go, you know, try this out. So she happened to have some grape juice in the refrigerator. So the OxiClean commercial, actually, you know what? I'm gonna try to... I'm going to find this clip and I'm going to put it on the YouTube. Like, I'm going to put it on my YouTube. You guys are welcome to go over and see it. I'm going to post it on Christina's Corner, the infomercial. So I poured this grape juice on the floor and I did exactly what this guy on the commercial said. Now, in hindsight, like thinking about it right now, as an adult that owns expensive things, that owns a home, that owns, you know, a car and stuff like that, just the idea of like my kids pouring something so staining on something right now, it makes me cringe, just being honest. But I was a kid. It goes to show you that at a certain age, you don't think about the consequences. You just think about the idea at that moment, okay? So don't be so hard on your kids. They thought about it at that moment. So I mixed the solution and I did exactly what he said. And guess what happened, y'all? Guess what happened? It worked just like he said it did. From that point on, I was hooked. And I think it was something else. I don't know if I read it in like an article or I saw it on something. That particular guy, of course, his name is not the OxiClean guy. That's just what I'm calling him because that's what he got famous for. But he basically, his motto was, he would never promote a product that he did not believe in. And guess what? I adopted that as a kid. I would never promote a product that I don't believe in. For people that know me personally, they know that I could sell ice to an Eskimo. I could. If I wanted to, if it was something that I wanted to push, I could sell anything to anybody. Salespeople have always come up to me and try to get me to work for different companies. But if it's a product that doesn't make sense to me and I don't believe in it, my character means more to me than that sale. Now, it's not a lot of people that can say that, especially it's out here, you know, doing podcasts and doing different things or whatever. But I'm going to tell you right now, that is my word and that's my bond. On this episode right now, you guys will be able to see from here, because I don't think I've ever said this, but like, I will not promote something that I don't believe in. Now, if I promote something and I get bamboozled, believe me, I'm going to come to you and tell you they got me. They got me. So if y'all done did this, pull out. Abort mission immediately. Because I don't want to mislead anybody. I don't want to be misled. and I don't want to be misleading. So anything that I bring to my channel, any sponsorships that I get, believe me, I believe in whatever they're selling. I believe in whatever they're giving. That is my belief. Because I believe that somebody has to stand up and be authentic. And I am willing to be that person. So think of me as the OxyClean queen in the regard of we're going to do what's morally right. Because at the end of the day, I need to be able to look myself in the mirror. All money is not good money, okay? Know that, you know? And like I said, if you're looking for the perfect podcast, baby, this is not it, okay? This is not it. This is raw, real, and the reason why it resonates with people because it's authentic, okay? But I was so excited. I didn't get into my intro. I'm working on the intro, guys. You guys have any suggestions that you want to give to me, go ahead. And I think you're able to comment. Whatever podcast you're listening to, whatever platform you're listening to it on, you're able to comment, give suggestions. There's also polls attached to the podcast. If you guys go ahead and help me out and interact a little bit, that helps me out. It helps my confidence in continuing to be consistent. Because remember, that's the thing that we're doing. We're being consistent. You're being consistent with me. We planted the seed. We're going to water it. And we're going to watch it grow. You guys are going to be able to say you were my day ones. Okay? So my name is First Lady Christina Renee. You are now tuning in to Parrot Talk Reloaded, the podcast. This podcast is available on all podcast platforms. Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio. It's available on everything. So whatever your preference is, whichever you prefer, you can listen to your girl on that platform. So jumping into this particular episode, it is a little bit different. But this is near and dear to my heart. Okay. So I'm gonna share it with you guys because I feel like if it's important to me, it's important to somebody else because we're all connected in some way. Okay. But this one is going to talk about my favorite story as a kid growing up. As a matter of fact, it's not just as a kid. I've always actually had a copy of this particular book in my possession because I love it so much. And today, you are going to get an exclusive read by moi, okay? I'm going to read this book to you. And the name of this book is called Stone Soup. It's by Marcia Brown. Now, the story's been rewritten a couple times. I actually have another copy of the book. But that one, the story is slightly different. And I don't know, I just like what I like, okay? So this book, I can't even remember what grade I was in the first time it was ever written, read to me. But from the very first time that it was read to me, I was hooked, even as a kid. Sometimes you latch on to things and you don't really know why. But I really do feel like this book is the perfect representation of me, like me. I feel like this is me. So we're going to begin, okay? Stone Soup, an old tale. Told and pictured by Marcia Brown. To my mother and father. Three soldiers trotted down a road in a strange country. They were on their way home from the wars. Besides being tired, they were hungry. In fact, they had not eaten for 2 days. How I would like a good dinner tonight, said the first, and a bed to sleep in, said the second. But all of that is impossible, said the third. We must march on. On they marched. Suddenly, ahead of them, they saw the lights of a village. Maybe we'll find a bite to eat there, said the first, and a loft to sleep in, said the second. No harm in asking, said the third. Now the peasants of that place feared strangers. When they heard that three soldiers were coming down the road, they talked amongst themselves. Mm-mm. Here come three soldiers. Soldiers are always hungry, but we have little enough for ourselves. And they hurried to hide their food. They put sacks of barley under the hay in the lofts. They lowered buckets of milk down the wells. They spread old quilts over the carrot bins. They hid their cabbage and potatoes under the beds. They hung their meat in the cellars. They hid all they had to eat. Then they waited. The soldiers stopped first at the house of Paul and Francis. "Good evening to you," they said. "Could you spare a bit of food for three hungry soldiers?" "We have no food for ourselves for 3 days," said Paul Francis, made a sad face. "It's been a poor harvest." The three soldiers went on to the house of Albert and Louise. "Could you spare a bit of food? And have you some corner where we could sleep for the night?" "Oh no," said Albert. "We gave up all we could spare to our soldiers who came before you." "Our beds are full," said Louise. At Vincent and Marie's, the answer was the same. It had been a poor harvest and all the grains must be kept for seed. So it went all through the village. Not a peasant had any food to give away. They all had good reasons. One family had to use the grain for feed. Another had an old sick father to care for. All had too many mouths to feed. The villagers stood in the streets and sighed. They looked as hungry as they could. The three soldiers talked together. Then the first soldier called out, "Good people!" The peasants drew near. "We are three hungry soldiers in a strange land. We have asked you for food and you have no food. Well then, we'll have to make stone soup." The peasant stared. Stone soup? That would be something to know about. "First, we'll need a large iron pot," the soldier said. The peasants bought the largest pot they could find. How else to cook enough? "There's none too large," said the soldiers, "but it will do. And now, water to fill it and a fire to heat it." It took many buckets of water to fill the pot. A fire was built on the village square and the pot was set to boil. "And now, if you please, three round, smooth stones." Those were easy enough to find. The peasants' eyes grew round as they watched the soldiers drop the stones into the pot. "Any soup needs salt and pepper," said the soldiers as they began to stir. Children ran to fetch salt and pepper. "Stones like these generally make good soups. But oh, if there were carrots, it would be much better." "Why, I think I have a carrot or two," said Frances as she ran off. She came back with her apron full of carrots from the bin beneath the red quilt. "A good stone soup should have cabbage," said the soldiers as they sliced the carrots into the pot. "But no use in asking for what you don't have." "I think I could find a cabbage somewhere," said Marie, and she hurried home. Back she came with three cabbages from the cupboard under the bed. "If we only had a bit of beef and a few potatoes, this soup would be good enough for a rich man's table." The peasants thought that over. They remembered their potatoes and the size of beef hanging in the cellars. They ran to fetch them. "A rich man's soup, all from a few stones. It seemed like magic." "Ah," sighed the soldiers as they stirred in the beef and potatoes. "If we only had a little barley and a cup of milk, this soup would be fit for the king himself. Indeed, he asked for just such a soup when he last dined with us." The peasants looked at each other. The soldiers had entertained the king well, but no use in asking for what you don't have. The soldiers sighed. The peasants bought their barley from the lofts. They brought their milk from the wells. The soldiers stirred the barley and milk into the steaming broth while the peasants stared. At last, The soup was ready.
All of you shall taste, the soldier said, but first a table must be set. Great tables were placed in the square, and all around were lighted torches. Such a soup, how good it smelled, truly fit for a king. But then the peasants asked themselves, would not such a soup require bread and a roast and cider? Soon a banquet was spread and everyone sat down to eat. Never had there been such a feast. Never had the peasants tasted such soup and fancy made from stones. They ate and drank and ate and drank. And after that, they danced. They danced and sang far into the night. At last, they were tired. Then the three soldiers asked, is there not a loaf? Is there not a loft where we can sleep? Let three such wise and splendid gentlemen sleep in a loft? Indeed, they must have the best beds in the village. So the first soldier slept in the priest's house. The second soldier slept in the baker's house. And the third soldier slept in the mayor's house. In the morning, the whole village gathered in the square to give them a send-off. Many thanks for what you have taught us, the peasants said to the soldiers. We shall never go hungry now that we know how to make soup from stones. Oh, it's all in knowing how, said the soldiers. And off they went down the road. Such men don't grow on every bush. And that is the end of the story. So let's talk about it for just a moment. Let's talk about it. I know you guys are mind blown over there. This book is amazing. Even as a child, I knew that this book was amazing. Okay? I identify with this book. As a matter of fact, that's the lesson. In the comment section, I want you guys to put what is your favorite childhood book growing up, or what book did you identify with most growing up? And we're going to talk about it briefly for a moment. Stone Soup, to me, is just like, shoot, it's more than one way to skin a cat. In the words of my grandma, like, at the end of the day, you know, people have their idea of what they want to do or what they're able to do or what they can do, but it's all about your approach. It really is, because sometimes you have to show people that they need whatever you have, you know, and you have to sell that to them. Because I feel like in some way or another, no matter what you do, we're all in sales. If you're a wife, you're in sales. If you're a mother, you're in sales. If you work, you're in sales. You're always in sales. We're always trying to persuade to get in some way, shape, form, or fashion. You know, it's just the truth. And Stone Soup just, I don't know, that's me. Like, if you know me personally, listening to these podcasts, as I begin to open more and expose more of my life to you, you'll be able to see, like, genuinely, this is just who I am. Like, I'm a person where, like, I'm very charismatic, very positive, pretty much have a positive outlook on anything. There's a silver lining. I try to find it in every situation. Like, just don't settle on the first no. You know, I mean, don't get me wrong. Sometimes no is just no at that moment. You know, and sometimes it's definitely just no. Maybe it's just not something that you need to do or you a place that you need to go. But for the most part, like, I don't know, man, but I would say about 90% of the time, you can find a way to get to a yes. 90%. We're going to leave room for the 10%. Okay? And if I'm being honest, that 10% for me would probably be about 2. And that's being real. If I commit to whatever I'm doing to execute it, even if it doesn't turn out the way that I thought it would or the way that I wrote it down, it's even better. It ends up having an even better ending. So Stone Soup is a book that I really, really oh my gosh, I love this book. And so I've always kept a copy of it. As a matter of fact, Second and Charles, which is a bookstore here, they sell new books, but they also sell used books. And they had a sale yesterday where you get a penny, 5 books at a penny a page. So I actually was able to get my favorite book for 42 cents. And I know at the beginning of the podcast, I said I've always had a copy, but I was talking to the little person in my life and they told me that they actually donated my book. And I'm like, it wasn't even your book to donate. Jeez. So like, but the book is really important to me, and things that are near and dear to me like that, I like to keep it close. And I'm sorry if my audio is not at 100%. Again, this is the Authentic Podcast. We're learning things as we grow and as we continue to put forth the action to yield the results that we would like. And yeah, we're going to get this audio thing down. We're going to get this audio thing down. I'm trying a couple different tools. Right now, I'm using the Zoom H2N wireless mic. I actually got this when I started the Parrot Show on YouTube. So I was going through some stuff and I was like, I need to use some of the equipment from then now and see how that works out. So today, make today better than yesterday, you know, make today better than yesterday and apply the techniques of Stone Soup to your life. Like, find a way to get to a yes, if possible. Find a way to get to a yes. Be creative. Think outside of the box. Remember, a menu is just a suggestion of how you can order something. Meaning that, example, it's better if I give an example. When you go into the restaurant, and like McDonald's or anywhere, when you go and you go into and they give you a menu or you look at a menu, that is something that they put together. You know, like clothes on a mannequin. But you don't actually have to buy that. You could buy the shirt that's on mannequin A and the pants that's on mannequin 6 or mannequin F, rather. Or you can order the burger or the meal different than what is on the menu, whatever the menu suggests. It's up to you. And sometimes I think we just forget that we have other options. We just get so used to everything being so preset for us and so set that we forget that, oh, I can actually ask for this in a modified way. And you're paying for it. And with your life, you're paying for it. You're paying for it with your time. I might have lost you a little bit. I feel like I kind of went over to the ditch a little bit. But all in all, if you get a no, if somebody tells you no, find a way to get to a yes. And if you don't get to a yes, examine, what is it that you could have done differently, or how could you could have presented that differently to them to get a different answer? Again, this podcast, I keep saying this, it may not be for everybody, okay? But for the ones that are genuine and that are authentic, it will resonate with you, okay? If you feel like this podcast can help someone, or, you know, actually, you know what? I think I'm going to do just the book itself. I'm gonna post this podcast, but I'm also going to post the book, like me reading the book separate, in case you guys even want to let your kids hear me reading the story, because I feel like I did a pretty good job. I feel like I did a stand-up job, you know? Okay, toot my own horn. If you haven't subscribed to the podcast, go ahead and do so now. This has been Parrot Talk Reloaded, special edition story time. And I don't know, I'm kind of feeling a little bit. Maybe I need to be reading stories sometimes, you know, because I feel like I'm a great storyteller. So if you haven't subscribed to the podcast, go ahead and do so now. If you feel like somebody could benefit from this, go ahead and send it to them. If you feel like this isn't the podcast for you, that's okay too. Find your tribe and grow. Find your tribe and grow. If this will be your tribe, come grow with me. If it's not your tribe, find a tribe and grow with it, okay? Because anything that's not growing is dead. I repeat, anything that's not growing is dead. One more time for the people in the back. Anything that's not growing is dead. So we want to stay alive. We want to continue to grow, continue to thrive, be consistent. My name is First Lady Christina Renee. This was Parrot Talk Reloaded Storytime Special Edition. I will catch you on the next podcast. Bye, guys.